الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله، الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله، الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated in his Mubarak hadith that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me in the world. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. The viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the blessed seerah of beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where we learn the noble character and about the lifestyle of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which serves for us as his ummah as an inspiration, inshallah, to guide us throughout our lives. Inshallah, with this in mind, today we are going to be discussing the second year after our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had migrated from Makkah Mukarramah to Madina Munawwara, and some of the noteworthy events that took place in the second year after Hijrah was the changing of the Qibla. For as long as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Makkah Mukarramah, the direction of Qibla, the direction of prayer, was the Holy Kaaba. However, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to Madina Munawwara, Allah azza wa jal commanded him to turn to face Baytul Maqdis, meaning Jerusalem, as the Qibla. Baytul Maqdis remained the Qibla for approximately 16 to 17 months. All the while, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam desired that the Kaaba in Makkah Mukarramah be made the direction of prayer. It was due to this yearning of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he would look towards the sky longing for wahi, for the command to face the Qibla to be revealed. Allah Azza wa Jal fulfilled this desire of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by revealing beautiful verse of the Holy Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 144. And he states, "We observe you turning your face to the heavens, so we will assuredly make you turn for prayer towards a Qibla which pleases you. Therefore, now turn your face towards the sacred mosque." Allah Azza wa Jal turned the Qibla from Jerusalem, from Baytul Maqdis, back to the Holy Kaaba in Makkah Mukarramah, based on the wish and the pleasure of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The verse was revealed to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whilst he was leading Salah of Zuhr in the Masjid of Banu Salima. It has been narrated that the revelation came when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the Fard Salah of Zuhr. Immediately he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed the direction of facing from Baytul Maqdis to the Holy Kaaba. The companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they followed him obediently and without any hesitation changed the direction they faced. Allahu Akbar. The masjid, this masjid where it took place, the Masjid of Banu Salima, became known as Masjidul Qiblatain, meaning the Masjid of two Qiblas. Allahu Akbar. And it is located approximately 2 kilometers northwest of Madina Munawwara. This changing of the direction of Qibla is known as Tahweelul Qibla. And when our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam changed the Qibla back to the Holy Kaaba, it troubled the Jews greatly. For as long as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Muslims faced Baytul Maqdis, the Jews were happy and would boast about it. And they would say, "See, even Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faces our Qibla." However, after the changing of the direction of the Qibla, they started to say that he does everything to oppose us now. For this sole reason, he has even changed the direction of their prayers. The munafiqeen, the hypocrites, they began to raise objections and criticized this change in orientation. To silence both the Jews and the hypocrites, Allah Azza wa Jal revealed this ayah in the Holy Quran, and he has stated, "Now the foolish will say, what has turned the Muslims away from the Qibla which they formerly observed? Proclaim, to Allah belong the East and the West. He guides whomever He wills upon the straight path." Allahu Akbar. And then Allah Azza wa Jal says further down the surah, and He says, "And O beloved, we had appointed the Qibla which you formerly observed only to see who follows the noble messenger and who turns away. And it was indeed hard except for those whom Allah Azza wa Jal guided." This is mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 142 and 143. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, the first verse answers the objection of the Jews by establishing that there is no set direction to perform a worship and that all directions are equal and belong to Allah. And if a specific direction is stipulated by Allah, none has the right to question Allah about it. And in the second verse, Allah Azza wa Jal answers the hypocrites who, after the changing of the direction of Qibla, they initiated a propaganda campaign against the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself has no true knowledge of his own religion, making Baitul Maqdis the Qibla, then changing it. These are the things that the hypocrites, they said about our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon changing the direction of Qibla. And in this verse, Allah Azza wa Jal reveals the wisdom in changing the direction of the Qibla, and it was to expose the hypocrites, a number of whom they created this propaganda on the changing of the Qibla, and they even provoked the true believers. The sincere believers would remain steadfast in following and obeying every instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while the hypocrites, they constantly sought opportunities to question our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Dear viewers, this is the difference between a hypocrite and a true believer. Until now, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had been commanded to propagate Islam verbally with proofs and dialogues. Muslims were instructed to patiently withstand the extreme oppression of the kuffar, of the disbelievers, and not to retaliate or fight back against them. For this reason, Muslims had not once raised arms even in self-defense, despite the severity of the prosecution that they had faced. Allahu Akbar, these were such tough times. And however, after the hijrah, after the migration from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwarah, when all the disbelievers of Arabia and the Jews united and schemed to destroy the small minority of Muslims, Allah Azza wa Jal granted permission to the Muslims to fight anyone who attacks them. The Muslims were granted permission for jihad in the second year after Hijrah, on the 12th of Safar, with the revelation of this verse of the Holy Quran, where Allah Azza wa Jal has stated that permission is granted to those against whom the disbelievers wage war as they are being wronged. And indeed, Allah Azza wa Jal is all able to grant them victory. And this has been mentioned in Surah Al-Hajj, verse number 39. And Imam Muhammad ibn Shahab al-Zuhri, rahimahullah, held the opinion that this was the first verse permitting battle to be revealed. meaning from this onwards, it was allowed for the believers to engage in battles. However, Imam Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, rahimahullah, he states that the first verse revealed granting permission for battle was rather in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 190, where Allah Azza wa Jal has stated, "And fight in the way of Allah those who fight against you." Thus, in the second year after Hijrah, the Muslims were granted permission to wage war, but with conditions. Muslims were only allowed to fight if they were attacked first, meaning only in self-defense. As yet, Muslims had not been granted permission to initiate any fighting. As propagating the teachings of Islam and the truth was incumbent upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was instructed to make battle against any obstinate disbeliever who rejected the truth of Islam, who harbored hatred and enmity towards Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the religion of Allah. This is because it is necessary to force the acceptance of the truth after it becomes manifest and force the rejection of falsehood. This is the essence of wisdom and pivotal for the reformation and salvation of humanity. Offensive battles were now permitted as well as defensive battles. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, this was a little glimpse into the revelation of these verses of the Holy Quran, where our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba generally were given the permission to engage in self-defense, and notwithstanding it being permitted to wage offensive war, a study of the circumstances in which the battles after the Hijrah occurred leaves no doubt that they were fought by the Muslims only to protect themselves, being initiated by the disbelievers, and the Muslims being compelled to defend themselves against the onslaught by the disbelievers. This can be highlighted that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions, they had left behind all their possessions in Makkah Mukarramah in order to migrate to Madina Munawwarah. This should have been sufficient for the disbelievers in Makkah, as they had in effect exiled the Muslims and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so to say. However, the disbelievers became so enraged by the Muslims being granted refuge in Madina Munawwarah that they threatened to attack the city and its residents. Only a few days later, after Hijrah, they sent a letter full of threats to the chief of Ansar by the name of Abdullah ibn Ubay. Abdullah ibn Ubay had already been accepted as the king of Madina Munawwara prior to the event of Hijrah, and a great coronation ceremony had been planned to mark this. However, upon the arrival of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the final messenger of Allah, this ceremony was cancelled. This enraged Abdullah ibn Ubay, and he spent the rest of his life plotting against Islam and the believers as the leader of the hypocrites. This letter was sent to Abdullah ibn Ubay, and it contained this writing that, "You have given refuge to our enemy Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who hails from our city. By the Creator, you will either kill him or exile him from Madina Munawwara. Otherwise, we will attack you and kill your young men, leaving us free to do as we please with your women folk." Allahu Akbar. This was the threat that was received by Abdullah ibn Ubay, the leader of all the hypocrites. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to know of this letter, he met Abdullah ibn Ubay and asked him, "O Abdullah, will you kill your brothers and sons?" Due to the fact that the most of the Ansar had embraced Islam by that time. And Abdullah ibn Ubay realized the truth in this statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and decided to ignore the order given by the disbelievers of Makkah. It was also during this period that Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anh, the leader of the tribe of Aus, he traveled to Makkah Mukarramah to perform Umrah. He stayed at the house of Umayyah ibn Khalaf. When Umayyah ibn Khalaf took Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anh, to perform Tawaf at midday, they coincidentally met Abu Jahl, who asked Umayyah with a stern voice. He says, "Who is this with you?" And Umayyah replied, "He is a resident of Medina, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh." Abu Jahl, he said in response, "How dare you give refuge to the treacherous people like Muhammad and his companions?" Allahu Akbar. And then, turning to Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, "If you were not with Umayyah today, I would not have spared you." Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he bravely replied to Abu Jahl that if the Makkans stop the people of Madinah Munawwara from visiting the Kaaba, we will certainly block your trade route to Syria. The kuffar did not stop at threatening the people of Madinah, but they even began preparing to attack Madinah Munawwara, to slaughter the Muslims and to assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Dear viewers, these were the treacherous plans that after repelling them and driving them out of the city of Makkah Mukarramah, they were still after the blood of the believers and our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Such was the hostility of these people. Because of this, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would spend entire nights awake, being vigilant, and the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would remain with him. Due to their influence, the disbelievers were able to convince the other Arab tribes that attacking and eradicating Muslims from the face of the earth was absolutely necessary. These were the evil plans. After having heard all of this, you might have an idea that how they conspired against our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Islam had to face this hostility in the early phases, but our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stood firm and steadfast, and it would become apparent to you as well that although the kuffar were after our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the news of the plot of the kuffar reached the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he initiated two strategic plans to be implemented for the safety of Ansar and Muhajirun. The trade route to Syria was the source of livelihood for the Makkan disbelievers, and it was agreed that it should be blocked, forcing the kuffar, the disbelievers, to abandon the idea of launching an attack on Madinah Munawwara and to agree to a truce. Agreement should be made with neighboring tribes that in the event of the city and the Muslims being attacked by the disbelievers, they would not join forces to attack the Muslims. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent small groups of companions to the surrounding areas and would at times join these groups himself. These groups would visit the tribes living nearby and obtain the agreement not to assist the kuffar of Makkah and to gather information about the plans of the disbelievers, and to also look out for any army approaching. Some were also sent to block the trade route to Syria. This in turn galvanized the disbelievers of Makkah to increase their plots and efforts to annihilate the Muslims, Allahu Akbar, aided by those who vowed to assist them. The Muslims would encounter the kuffar at times, and this would result in major and minor battles that were either known as ghazwat or saraya, meaning ghazwa or sariya. Now, What is the difference between a ghazwa and a sariya? The compilers of the Blessed Seerah categorized these two battles in this manner, that a ghazwa is a battle in which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was present himself, and a sariya is the battle in which our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not present. He wasn't part of that battle. Historians, they differ regarding the exact number of ghazwat that took place. It has been recorded that in Mawahibul Ladunya, that the number of ghazwat which occurred is 27. In contrast, it is mentioned the number, according to one opinion, is 21, whilst others have stated it is either 24, 25 or 26. Now, Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, however, he narrates from Sayyidina Zayd ibn Arqam radiallahu anhu that 19 ghazwat took place, and only 9 of them involved any actual physical fighting. And these 9 ghazwat were the Battle of Badr, the Battle of Uhud, the Battle of Ahzab, and the Battle of Banu Qurayza, the Battle of Banu Mustaliq, the Battle of Khaybar, the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, the Battle of Hunain, and the Battle of Ta'if. These were the 9 battles in which actual fighting took place. The rest of the battles, there was no bloodshed or fighting in those battles. They ended on some agreements. Now, there are also some opinions regarding the number of saraya, meaning that regarding the number of sariya, the battles in which our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not partake. And some scholars have said that 47, their number were 47, while others held the opinion that the number of saraya were 56. Imam Bukhari radiallahu anhu narrates from Sayyidina Muhammad ibn Ishaq radiallahu anhu that the first ghazwa to take place was the ghazwa of Abwa, and the last of them was Tabuk. And the first sariya to take place was the sariya of Sayyidina Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu, dear viewers of Madani Channel. These were the battles that were fought in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and after him. The great battle of Badr was also fought in the second year after Hijrah. And Badr is a place approximately 80 miles of Madinah Munawwara where this battle was fought, hence the name Battle of Badr. The most important battle of the history of Islam took place here in Badr, and the battle was fierce and bloody. The Muslims gained a victory over the kuffar, one which shattered the confidence and arrogance of the disbelievers of Quraysh. Allah Azza wa Jal, the Most Exalted, named the day of the Battle of Badr Yawmul Furqan, meaning the day of distinguishing between the truth and the falsehood. Allahu Akbar. This is the battle also mentioned in the Holy Quran. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to his companions that the kuffar of Quraysh, they circle Madina Munawwara every day with the intention of looting and plundering it. Qurz ibn Jabir Fihri, he seized our livestock from our fields. We should attack the trade caravan to block their trade route, as this will force the Quraysh to enter into a truce with us. The Ansar and Muhajirun, they were prepared to follow this strategy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such were the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Upon his one voice, they were ready to place their heads. And it happened on the 12th of Ramadan in the year 2 after Hijrah, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his blessed companions left Madina Munawwara to execute this plan. The Muslim army possessed very few weapons and little provision, as no one anticipated that a major battle would take place. However, a rumor spread in Makkah Mukarramah that the Muslims had left Madina Munawwara fully armed to launch an attack and raid the returning trade caravan. This stirred a controversy, a chaos among the kuffar and the disbelievers who began mobilizing to attack the Muslims. When the news of this reached Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gathered the companions and consulted with them concerning the news he just received. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed them that there is a possibility of war with the kuffar of Makkah. Hearing this, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, and other muhajireen, they said in unison that we are ready to face the disbelievers. Sayyidina Miqdad ibn Amr radiallahu ta'ala an said, Ya Rasulullah, press forward to accomplish that which Allah Azza wa Jal has commanded you to do. We will stand by you, and by Allah, we shall never say to you, as the Jews said to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, go alone with your Lord and fight with him for us, while we remain here and await your return. Rather, Ya Rasulullah, we say, go forth you and your Lord to fight, for we are fighting with you by Allah who has sent you with the truth. Even if you were to take us to the Barq al-Ghimad, we will tolerate all the hardships until we reach this place with you. We will fight on your left and on your right, and in front of you and behind you until Allah grants you victory and triumph. Allahu Akbar. These were the sentiments that were expressed by the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by the Muhajirun, and after they had presented their views regarding this battle, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at the Ansar now and was especially anxious to hear their view, as on the day of the Pledge of Allegiance at Al-Aqaba, they had pledged to protect him and that they would protect him with their own lives, and they would protect the children and women, and to lift their sword if there was an attack on Madinah Munawwara. However, this battle was to take place outside of Madinah Munawwara. When the Ansar realized that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was waiting for them to speak, Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, who was the leader, he said, Ya Rasulullah, perhaps you are seeking to hear our views and our assurance. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, yes indeed. And upon which Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, we have believed in you and we have witnessed that what you have brought to us is the truth, and we have pledged allegiance to you and have promised to obey you. So Ya Rasulullah, go ahead with whatever you decide, for we are with you by the one who has sent you with the truth. If you lead us towards the sea, we shall enter into it with you, and not one of us will stay behind. And then he continued to say that we do not fear that you cause us to face our enemy tomorrow. We shall hold our ground and press towards the enemy. We hope that Allah Azza wa Jal will show you such of our deeds that will not disappoint you. Rather, you will be proud of us. Lead us forth with Allah's blessing. Allah. But these were the words of the Ansar, the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Sayyidi Ala Hadrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he has very beautifully said that Husne Yusuf pe kati, Misr mein angushte zana, sar katate hain tere naam pe mardane arab. Meaning, on one side, the women of Egypt, they by mistake they had cut their fingers, mesmerized by the beauty of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. But here, on the other hand, the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the men of Arabia, they are placing their heads in the name of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he smiled with joy, and the reply that he received from the Ansar, from the leader of Ansar, it made him cheer up. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, march forward with confidence, for Allah azza wa jal has promised me one of the two, either the caravan or the Makkan army. Allahu Akbar. By Allah, right now, I see the places where the enemies will fall. This was the knowledge of the unseen granted to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by Allah azza wa jal. At a distance of a mile from Madina Munawwara, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inspected the army and instructed those not old enough to combat to return to Madina Munawwara, as the battlefield is no place for children. This was again the compassion of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for children, that he would not allow them to partake in a battle. On the night of the 17th of Ramadan, in the second year after Hijrah, while the Muslim army rested, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent the entire night supplicating and praying to Allah azza wa jal. He supplicated that, O Allah, there are only a few Muslims who are here to spread your word and religion. If these Muslims are killed today, then no one will be left until Qiyamah who will worship you. Fulfill the promise that you have made and bless us with your grace. This was the dua of beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the night. And when the time of Fajr Salah arrived, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam awakened them for Salah, and he led them in Salah and recited the verses of the Holy Quran relating to war. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then gave a speech, a powerful speech which raised the spirit and morale of the mujahideen, of the sahaba who were going to partake in this battle. At night, some of the companions, they accompanied Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to survey the battlefield, and our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used a stick to mark the ground, and he would specify exactly where the enemies would fall. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, look, this is where so and so, mentioning them by name, their full names, will fall tomorrow. And if Allah wills, and this is where so and so will fall tomorrow. If Allah wills, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu then swore by Allah that they, meaning the enemies who were slain in the battle of Badr, fell exactly where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had foretold. Allahu Akbar. Not even a hair breadth away from the markings where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicated that this is where they would fall. From this hadith, it is evident that Allah Azza wa Jal granted our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the knowledge of the unseen regarding who would die and where that person would die. Allahu Akbar. This is where Sayyidi Ala Hadrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he strengthens our spirit of Iman, and he says, aur koi ghaib kya, tum se niha ho bhala, jab na khuda hi chupa, tum pe karoro guru. During the battle of Badr, Allah Azza wa Jal sent down an army of angels to assist the Muslims. Initially, 1,000 angels descended, so that they total reached 5,000. Though they were not visible, their actions were clearly visible. Some of the disbelievers suffered whip marks on their faces, while the heads of others rolled without apparently being attacked by a sword. Allahu Akbar. This is how Allah Azza wa Jal assisted the believers and the army of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the battle of Badr with the angels. Seeing Utba, Shayba, Abu Jahl and other leaders fall, the morale of the kuffar was shattered, and in despair they threw down their weapons and fled the battlefield. From the army of disbelievers, 70 were killed and further 70 were captured. Allahu, this is how Allah Azza wa Jal had granted victory to the Muslim Ummah. And this defeat was a major blow to the disbelievers. The loss of their most prominent leaders and skilled warriors significantly weakened their military might. And amongst those who were killed, it was Utbah, Shaybah, Abu Jahl, Abu al-Bakhtari ibn Zam'a, Umayyah ibn Khalaf, Munabbi ibn al-Hajjaj, Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt, and Nadr ibn Harith, etc. These were the kuffar that were murdered in the battlefield in the place called Badr, hence the name the Battle of Badr, the first battle in the life of the Sahaba and of this Ummah that was fought against the falsehood, and Allah Azza wa Jal granted them victory and assisted them through His angels. 5,000 angels, they helped and assisted the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this battle. Although these individuals that were murdered, they were highly skilled warriors, their ability was no substitute for the iman of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now 14 companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were blessed with martyrdom in this battle. 6 were from the Muhajireen and 8 were from the Ansar. And their names, as it is mentioned, that they were Sayyidina Ubaidah ibn al-Harith, Sayyidina Umair ibn Abi Waqas, Sayyidina Zushimalain, Umair ibn Abdul Amr al-Khuza'i, and Sayyidina ibn Bukhair, Sayyidina Mihja, Sayyidina Safwan, and from the Ansar now, these were the 6 Muhajirun that were martyred, and from the Ansar were Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Khaisama, Sayyidina Mubashir, Sayyidina Haritha, Sayyidina Muawwaz ibn al-Afra, Sayyidina Umair ibn Humam, Sayyidina Rafi', Sayyidina Auf, and Sayyidina Yazid bin al-Harith. These were the Ansar Sahaba that were martyred in the Battle of Badr. And all the martyrs were laid to rest in Badr with the exception of Sayyidina Ubaidah ibn al-Harith, who while returning from Badr passed away at Safra from injuries sustained in the battle and was laid to rest there. May Allah Azza wa Jal be pleased with the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who proved their loyalty to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and who served Islam and fought for Islam, the Islam that we have today. Alhamdulillah. And this was their bravery. Therefore, we say our slogan that Har Sahabiye Nabi Jannati Jannati. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant us the tawfiq to learn these valuable lessons from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and enable us to follow into the footsteps of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his Sahaba, inshallah, as our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said regarding the guidance of his Sahaba, that Ashabi kan nujum bi ayyihim iqtadaytum ihtadaytum. My Sahaba, my companions, are like the guiding stars. If you follow any one of them, you will be guided, inshallah, azza wa jal. And it is also the mission of Dawat Islami to follow the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the fragrant movement of Quran and Sunnah, that I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world, inshallah azza wa jal. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam.